John chapter 6, Jesus makes a very bold statement. In verse 35, he declares, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe." So who's he talking to? Yep. And they've been with him for quite a while. And what did they have a problem with? Unbelief. It is running rampant. Then he goes into verse 37. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Now that's a trigger that I know years back the Holy Spirit really pounded into me. He said, "When are you going to get rid of your agenda and to do my agenda?" And of course, that was not exactly an easy choice, because we all come to the Lord with a very selfish motivation, at least I did. And I would say majority of believers come for healing, come for deliverance, come for freedom, but they don't want to give up. And I didn't want to give up. And tonight, as we were standing in a circle after we took off our shoes, I could hear, "I surrender all." Now, I didn't sing it because I knew that this was part of what was probably going to happen later. But surrendering and doing is a whole different ballgame. You can say, "I surrender." You can sing the song. You can dance to it. You can declare that you have, but is your heart believing it? Have you really come to do His will? And most Christians have come to do their will. But we as a church have dedicated ourselves to harmony and to help everyone that has a problem with this area. Because we all came with our own agenda. I can remember even as a young boy having my own plans. God would try to show me things and I'd kind of cancel him out and do my own thing. Of course, none of you guys have ever done that, but I had a problem. And the problem was unbelief, number one, that I could not be a vessel for him. Not in my estimation, because I had the accusing voices sitting in back of me saying, "Look what you did. Look that what you did then and then and then." And he would go back several years and he'd show me the messes I created. And of course, then it convinced me that I was absolutely useless and hopeless and believed it. And by the way, in case you forgot, the disciples were brought up under that same anointing. In the Jewish laws, you had to keep all the rules and regulations before you could be accepted. And it was impossible to keep all the laws. Verse 39, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." Now, raising them up is the resurrection. At least that's my understanding. "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Well, in case you forgot, it's 2,000 years since Jesus came, and it was 4,000 years from Adam to him. And of course, verse 41, this shows you the strategy of man. "At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.'" Now, they knew about manna. They understood what it was. They hadn't seen any. but they didn't know what it was. They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" And he responds, "Stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father has sent, who sent me, draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, this is the third time he's saying it. "It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by their Bible." Oh, you mean even if you couldn't read or write, you could still be taught? Yeah. That's a cool one, isn't it? Being taught by God is meaning that he's able to communicate. In case you forgot, he created ears, he created mouth, he can speak. And we need to hear, and we need to let him speak. "They will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me." Ah, so now the purpose of hearing the Father is so that we can meet the Son. "No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life." He didn't say, "I might be." He says, "I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert," which they were focused on, "yet they died. But here is the bread that came down," or comes down from heaven, "which a man may eat and not die." Which a man may eat and not die. Now, you say to me, "Well, Kim, here you go again. Everybody dies. Your mother died. Your father died." Well, are they dead? If they have accepted the Lord, are they dead? No, they're not dead. They're alive. They're waiting for their resurrection. And you know, there's a transition that takes place in the body of Savior, Jesus Christ. His soul, his mind, will, and emotions died. But did Jesus stay in the grave? Nope. So he's the first to raise from the dead. Who raised him?
The Father.
The Father. By the Holy Spirit. Okay? Is that possible for us? We've got a deposit, don't we? Okay. So he's saying, "I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven." So he's explaining it over and over so that somebody's going to get a wake-up call. Who is he looking to wake up? Me and you. "If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." Not part-time. "This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" etc., etc., etc. Today, as I was listening to a teacher of the word, he made a comment. An incredible comment that, let's say, I've known but never seen from the perspective that he brought forth. I want you to kind of close your eyes. I want you to declare with me. The tree of life was in the garden for Adam and Eve to see. On Calvary's cross, which represented death, the tree of life laid down willingly. and swallowed up death.
Swallowed up death.
For me.
For me.
And for himself.
And for himself.
So here you see a picture of the tree of life overwhelming the tree that was representing death, that cross. And he swallowed it up. I was communicating with someone yesterday, and out of my mouth came these words. It was, do you realize that when you take the body and blood of our Savior, you're taking in more and more life? And the person said, no. And I reminded this individual of the words of our Lord. When we look at simple bread, it means very little to us, except for nourishment of the body. Yet it is a staple all around the world. It would be available to anyone throughout the nations. The type of wheat is not important. What's important is that it is bread. Then we discussed several things, and the recognition that this simple item could feed my inner man and feed my body with eternal life, if I believe. If I believe. Now, you might consider the brain. It says that if you had a picture of the brain, there's gray areas, seemingly no life. And I'll never forget 1988, or 89, could have been 89. I'm in the West Coast. We're having communication with a doctor, and he's got some photographs. And he talked about the brain of a spirit-filled man that they had done an autopsy on. And believe it or not, you have a gland at the top, the pineal gland. It's supposedly dead, just sits there. But this man was fully alive in Christ, praying in the Holy Ghost almost every day on a regular basis. And when they took an autopsy of his skull after he passed, they realized that all of the pineal gland had grown legs, and it had connected all of the gray matter, and the gray matter was turning pink. Would you call that recreation? I still got that material. Not time to bring it out yet. All I can believe is that if you have so much unbelief, do I have to have a paper to prove it to you? Or are you going to take the word of the Lord as His truth versus your opinion? I can remember what it did to me. The photograph jolted my unbelief. But did it wipe it out? No, it did not wipe it out. It did not wipe it out. Why? Because of the traditions that have been fed into me. And I believe my traditions. Or I believe my body, which when I look in the mirror says you're 70. But the Spirit of God in me says that can be reversed. Yeah, it can be. But do I believe that when I take this and I eat His flesh, that I am actually reversing what He did on that cross? Was He not the bread of life? When I consume that bread of life, what am I taking in? Rejuvenation. Resurrection. His eternal life comes into me through this communion. When I take his blood, what happens to my blood?
You have a new DNA?
Absolutely. The scripture says I'm a new creation.
That's what Doug Fortune said, you have a new DNA.
You have a brand new DNA. Why are we living the old when the new is available? Would you stand, please? Let me ask you this. Are you one of the disciples having a problem with unbelief? Do you relate to the disciples that have unbelief? Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Did they overcome?
Yeah.
Why do you think that these 12 had to be killed? Did you ever ask that? Why do you think they had to be killed? Some were beheaded, some were crucified. Boiled in oil. Why did they have to be killed? There's one answer that some people say, oh, it's because they were the proof that 12 men, like in a court of law, would prove, you know, that Jesus was resurrected, because that was the issue.
They believed.
They had learned to believe and accepted to believe. Could they be still alive today in their flesh had they not been killed?
Should, yeah.
Should.
Absolutely.
Were they laying hands on the sick and were they getting better? We still have that ability, but our spark is so low compared to theirs that the shadow of Peter raised the sick from sickness, delivered them. And if you go back to Elisha, his dead bones raised a man how many years after he had been dead? Catching on now? Close your eyes and lift your hands to him. Say, Father, I confess my unbelief.
Father, I confess my
unbelief. I ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to forgive me.
Because I can't change myself.
But I can trust you.
To invest eternal life tonight. As a deposit greater than it's been before. Because when you broke that bread, Lord Jesus, you declared that this was your body. To give up your body. That mine would come to life. And I believe it by choice. I don't want to go back in unbelief. I want a recreated mind. I want a blood vessel that is so full of life. In my heart, to pump that new life all the way through my body until resurrection power overpowers not only the unbelief, but the death that has ruled and wants to claim more territory. Glory to you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I believe that this is your flesh, your eternal flesh. You were the tree of life in that garden, and you still are. You shed your blood that I would come to life, that I would resurrect before I enter the grave. It's a lot better than letting rigor mortis set in. Amen?
Amen.
And amen.